Blog Talk Radio.
Life should be
everybody, we are certainly hopeful that you're having a fantastic Sunday evening, April 3rd, 2022. And for our gentlemen, our esteemed panel here this evening, I would like to welcome each of them. And I'm just going to say off the top of my intro that it is amazing how quickly this year itself, 2022, is moving forward. And here we are already the third day of April, the fourth month of the year of 2022. Good evening. My name is Alan T. Black. I am an author, best-selling author, a podcaster, also a radio program host. I am as well a song lyricist, and we want to welcome you here this evening to the Men of Honor Roundtable discussion on Tribe Family Channel in association with the Gumbo for the Soul Publications. We look forward to having you stay with us this evening and hear from a panel of gentlemen from different walks of life who are bringing their talents and their gifts to the table this evening to share with you their perspectives on some different topics that we're going to focus on for this evening. And again, we want to welcome you and thank you for tuning in this evening. Tell somebody right now that, hey, we need to know that you're listening into something and you want to be a part of something that is very special. I'm going to say off the top of my head that the opening song was frankly a shock. And it was a shock simply because yours truly, Alan T. Black, that was my song. I was actually the lyricist on that song. That was a collaboration I did with a company out of Nashville. Writing song lyrics and collaboration is by definition the real passion that makes my heart beat. So thanks to Beverly, I'm totally shocked and deeply, deeply honored. But just in closing comments, that's the special type of woman of God that Beverly Black is. And we thank her for tonight, and we thank her for all that she's continuing to do for our community. What we're going to do is to get started this evening, and the first gentleman that we're going to be hearing from is an outstanding gentleman. Hopefully you have all heard of him. He is Mr. Clyde Anthony, and he's formerly with Archie Bell and the Drells out of Houston, Texas. And we're going to just hear a portion of a song from him, and then we will bring him online. So sit back, enjoy, and prepare to have a good journey. That was Mr. Clyde Anthony, and that was just a portion of what his talents are. That song had a nice flow to it. We want to welcome this evening the esteemed and very honorable Mr. Clyde Anthony. Mr. Anthony, are you here with us this evening, sir?
Yes, I am.
Thank you very much for joining us, and I enjoyed that song. I want to hear more of that as we go forward. And so what we're going to do just kind of get started out is that particular song that was the beginning and the opening of our show is called What If? And as I indicated, I was a lyricist on that song. And so what if is a question that is posed to each of us at some point in our life. And we just wanted to start out, Mr. Anthony, by getting your feedback about the question from that opening song from your perspective, sir.
I think it's pretty profound, if you ask me. It reminds me of what I'm actually really trying to do with some of the music that I'm coming up with to enlighten our people about things that they may not be aware of, and to spread God's word, because without Him, we are unsuccessful in everything that we do. It may seem like you are, but you're not. So I have to, the song was very beautiful. I like it. I would like to have a copy of it, but, that's just the way I feel about it right now.
Thank you, sir. And I will make sure that when we wrap up that I'll get you a copy of it. I'll get your contact information and everything. And again, Mr. Anthony, we thank you, and we're very honored to have you here with us this evening. The next gentleman we are blessed to have with us tonight is Mr. Harold Parker Sr., a dynamic singer and musician, and we're going to have Miss Beverly Black play a portion of his song, and then we'll have him come online. So at this time, I'm going to turn it over to Miss Beverly Black, please.
Ooh, 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 ooh.
Mr. Parker, that was, I'm stunned because you and I have talked in the past. And, bro, I didn't know you had it like that. So we want to thank you. And just, I'm just going to say, I'm just totally blown away by that. But are you online with us again, Mr. Parker, sir?
Yes, I am. It's good to see you there, Mr. Allen. And, you know, I give all credit to Maxwell. He's one of my role models, I tell you. But I love singing some of his songs. So definitely a pleasure to be on the show with such esteemed gentlemen that's up here. It's a privilege looking at a three-time Grammy Award winner and Emmy and Image Award. It's Gary and everybody else. So I'm just honored to be up here.
Thank you, sir. And as I was asking Mr. Anthony, we would also like to get your feedback and your input as well for the opening song, What If, and give us your thoughts and your reflections.
Well, indeed, it is a woman's world. When you look at today's society and with the things that's going on, I must give credit to women. They are making things happen. They are being movers and shakers. Us men, we got a ways to go. I'm sorry, it's just the truth of it. But women are making things happen. So, it's their world. It's definitely a woman's work. I give them credit even for giving birth to us and giving honor to my mother that's out there, Blunder Parker, because it's written, you know, honor your father and mother. So I'm giving her honor that's honor's due right now. It's a woman's world. So that's what I have to say about that, Alan.
Thank you. And certainly we want to thank all of the women who are tuning in and just all the women in work. Because like you said, Mr. Parker, hey, without them, we wouldn't be here. And how many of the women in our lives have been there through thick and thin, even when we didn't appreciate it, and we probably didn't honor them as we should. So thank you for recognizing the fact that we need to honor and glorify our queens who are doing it and holding it down and continue to hold it down. So thank you for that. The next gentleman we want to get to is Mr. Gary Dennis Hines. And as Mr. Parker was telling you, this gentleman is phenomenal. He is the founder of the Sounds of Blackness out of Minneapolis. He has won Grammys and Emmys, and we are certainly blessed to have him with us here tonight. We're going to ask Beverly to play a portion of his song, and then you will hear from Mr. Gary Dennis Hines himself, the founder of the Sounds of Blackness. I'm hoping and I'm pretty sure that everybody in the audience has heard that song. And from a personal perspective, that is a song that stands outside the boundaries of time. And what I mean by that, it's actually more relevant now than when it was written years ago. And I would hazard a guess that 50 years from now, that particular song for the Sounds of Blackness will be even more powerful. So congratulations to Mr. Hines and Sounds of Blackness for a song that is truly a standard. At this time, we want to bring on Mr. Gary Dennis Hines. Thank you, Mr. Hines, for being with us this evening, and we're looking forward to hearing from you at this time, sir.
Thank you, my brother. On behalf of all of Sounds of Blackness, we appreciate that. And, you know, by the grace of God, this is the not only the 50th anniversary of Sounds of Blackness, but the 30th anniversary of Optimistic. And when Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis and yours truly wrote Optimistic for Sounds of Blackness, I'll never forget that Jam and Lewis said, we want this to be a classic that will stand the test of time and that will be uplifting and inspiring to people all over the world and stand the test of time. And by the grace of God, you know, we've been blessed to do that with remakes by our brother from Chicago, Common, and Brandy and Robert Glasper. There have been jazz remakes of it. There's Brother Chance that did the Optimistic Challenge with Fathers and Sons. And so it's a legacy, and we're thankful for that.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate that. And it's so prophetic as far as how that song continues to resonate throughout our society and throughout the world, even to this very second. We want to also get your input from the opening song, What If, and give us your thoughts and your perspective on that particular song that you heard to open our show this evening, sir.
Yes, sir. And first of all, congratulations to you on a magnificent song and lyrics. And I'd say, what if we weren't blessed with the queens that we have? There is no us without sisterhood through the Royal African Kingdoms, through the transatlantic slave trade, through 300 years of enslavement, through 150 years of segregation and Jim Crow, through injustice up to today, up to George Floyd and Breonna Taylor. Without the strength and resilience of the black women, there is no what if. We are not here. And so all praise, we thank God, and we honor our queens.
Amen, sir. I felt like you were going to church on me, brother, on a Sunday evening. I feel good about that. So thank you, Mr. Hines. Again, I'm Alan T. Black, and I guess from my perspective as the lyricist for that song, when I was creating that story, I wanted to be something that would speak to each of us in a manner that would cause us to really think and to seriously reflect on what's going on around us and how do we implement that what if and move forward in a positive manner to be a game changer and to be an agent of change and positivity that is going to impact not just the people around us, but impact those around the world as well. So from my perspective as a lyricist, that was really the foundation for me creating that story. And so I'm certainly honored to have that have played this evening. I'm stunned and shocked, to be honest with each of you gentlemen. But again, Beverly, thank you for that. I cannot express how honored I am to have that song played this evening. Gentlemen, what we're going to do, as I'm sure Beverly was sharing with you, we're going to kind of discuss some different topics that hopefully we can all share our input on and our perspectives from the different walks of life that we come from. Topics for tonight, which may or may not be limited to this, it will depend on how the conversation goes and the flow and the momentum, but we will focus on health and wellness, life and leisure, balance and soulmates. And then the final topic will be mentors and role models. So we will kind of cover content from each of those areas. We do recognize that there will probably be overflow and interconnection between each of them, but I want to give each of you gentlemen a chance to kind of give us your input, your expertise, and your reflections on what these particular topics mean to you. We're going to start out in the area of health and wellness. And one of the questions that I had as far as health and wellness, just to kind of get this started, is what is the degree of the importance of health and wellness for us as men in this year 2022? And I'm going to start with Mr. Clyde Anthony, if I could get his perspective. Then we'll go to Mr. Parker, Mr. Hines will go to you, and then I'll kind of comment as well. So let me turn this over to Mr. Anthony. And Mr. Anthony, give us your perspective on the importance of health awareness for us as men.
Wow. That's probably the most important thing us as black men can do is stay in touch with our health, going to the doctor regularly, getting checkups, paying attention to what your doctor says. It's just so many things that we need to improve on, going to get colonoscopies and things of this nature that a lot of black people overlook. And I think it's so critical because you don't know what's going on if you don't have it checked. And by me being a person that has lived three scores and some, I think I kind of got an idea of how important it is, because when I first took my first colonoscopy, it was positive, you know, but because it was still in a pod, it's removable. And a lot of people don't know that, but you have to have some concept of what your health needs to be every day, because we as men, we out there, we're working hard for our families. We're trying to provide what we can to keep everybody comfortable. And when you speak of wellness, I mean, I think the wellness goes along with your health, because you can't perform your duties at the highest level if you're not taking care of yourself, you know, because we can wear down. We're men, you know, we're driven to outdo the next project and get to it, get through it and go to the next one and jump right on it, you know, and sometimes we forget to sit down and breathe. I think also that we need to stop stay in touch with ourselves as we get older, to start recognizing certain things about our bodies and our health wise that changes when you that comes along with age. And being 74 as I am, I know a little bit about that. So I feel like it's very important for our wellness and our health to be, you know, taking in data, get our young black brothers to go and get checked up. We need to be more conscious of things that go on daily that hadn't normally been happening. If you notice something different about yourself and it's not the norm, you should get that checked out. Don't say, well, it was just something at that moment. That could be the start of a problem. You know, so this is my take pretty much on what that is.
Thank you. I mean, you just said a whole topic there in and of itself is how do we as men take the initiative. And I'm hoping that our audience is listening and certainly appreciating and embracing the wisdom that you're bringing to the table, Mr. Anthony, because as you said, you're 74, and we're thankful that you're here with us and you sound like you're doing well. Because wisdom speaks experience, and experience comes from living life. And so we thank you for your comments, most certainly. Mr. Parker, I want to come to you and kind of get your perspective on that question about the importance of health and wellness for us as men.
When I think about health and wellness and its importance, I think about first mental health, because the brain tells the body what to do. It is the central control unit of everything that we access our being, how we act, how we perform, how we diet, how we breathe and live. I believe that if we tackle mental health in an early stage as young men, we can get a grip of the rest of the things that come with it. It seems like in today's trends and today's society, and when you look on social media, a lot of concerns is due to mental health. And due to COVID right now, it has been proven what mental health can do and how it can take a toll on your life. Because with proper mental health, you know, you get to live the best quality of life. But without proper mental health, you'll feel with things such as stress, and it releases so many endorphins and all kind of things dealing with your nervous system that just completely get you out of whack. It get you off balance. Your day starts off wrong. You start developing disorders, diseases, and so I believe that mental health, I put that on top of the totem pole that we really need to look at that. It is everything from a balance of stability for families. Because without that type of mentality to lead as a man, the household is just destroyed. Therefore, you got divorce. From divorce, you got your kids growing up without fathers. From kids growing up without fathers, that pipeline right directly to prison system that we talked about in some of our previous shows, and all sorts of things. So mental health, also physical health, I would say we need to look at things such as taking more herbs, getting more natural cures for things instead of just going to the doctor and getting a lot of medicines because it has a lot of side effects. So I think we really need to look at that. And even vitamins, because all of these things are damaging our livers and our kidneys, and we really need to detox this. I was talking to someone, they were telling me about how they had back pain, but at the same time, the medicine that they were taking said that it would give make them gain weight. And I said, that's counterproductive. So the best way to tackle physical health is to actually, you know, get something that's natural, because the earth, we are made from the earth, and the earth knows how to heal itself. All right, I'm back at you, Alan.
All right, sir, thank you. And that's, we're going to come back to the topic of, say, mental health in just a few minutes, I promise. So I want to now go to Mr. Hines and get his perspective on the question of the importance of the health and wellness for us as men. Mr. Hines, sir.
Yes, sir. Health and wellness is absolutely top priority, number one. Spirit, mind, and body are one. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We've been given stewardship over our bodies. But again, spirit, mind, and body are one. And it's sometimes, as my brother was saying a moment ago, in different words, counterintuitive for us to prioritize ourselves and to make our health at the top of the list. But think of this. First of all, again, number one, it's scriptural. That we do that. And also, even just in terms of the practicality of it, when you're on that airplane, if you're traveling with a child or whatever and you get those instructions, if the air mask come down, what are you instructed to do? Put your mask on first, because you can't help anybody else until you help yourself first. And so every day, to make it a daily regimen for cardio, exercise, don't confuse activity with exercise. Well, I went to the barbershop and the gas station. I got plenty of exercise. No, you had plenty of activity, and exercise are not the same. Exercise your body. It's not about joining a gym. It's not like about looking like Mr. and Miss America. It's about being in the best condition for you and your form, doing something that gets you winded, something that you enjoy, walking, dancing, skating, riding a bike, something that you did as a kid, because your body doesn't and mind don't associate that with work. Just to do that and to build up your respiration, your cardio capacity, and then, as my brother was saying a moment ago, to put the right nutrients in our bodies on a daily basis. And the main thing is to not think about it. I think what people think themselves out of it, and it's just like the Nike commercial says, just do it.
Right. Yes, sir. Thank you. I mean, that's just so on point, and thank you, Mr. Hines. Thank you, all three gentlemen. My particular perspective on the health and wellness, I think as much as anything, I think about what Grandma probably said to each of us at some point in our lives, whether or not we listened or not. That's a different question, gentlemen. But I think about what Grandma used to say, that an ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure. And so I think about that in terms of what are we doing as far as maintaining and improving the health and wellness of each of us as men. I'm reminded of something that I read a while back, which kind of hit a nerve with me. I was offended at first, but then I got past my emotions and I realized, you know what? They're right. And they were talking about it's not unusual for us as men to pay more attention to the maintenance of our car and how good it looks or anything like that. We'll invest in that more so than we will in our own health and wellness for ourselves. And I found that to be disturbing. But at the same time, gentlemen, I had to as well admit that, you know what, it's true. We will look at the things that are around us and put more into that. And like you said, Mr. Hines, we overlook the fact that we are not investing in ourselves, because like you said, activity is not exercise. They are as different as, say, day and night. So, gentlemen, thank you for those perspectives. And I've just written down some other questions now. The next question we're going to throw on the table, I'm hoping that all of us can identify with in some shape, form, or fashion. And I'm going to, first of all, put this question out there for Mr. Anthony, then I'll come to you, Mr. Parker, and then, of course, to Mr. Hines. And certainly, here is the question that I have. How do we, gentlemen, break this cycle of I'm okay, I'm not going to the doctor, I'll be fine? How do we break that? And, Mr. Anthony, I'm going to throw it to you to get us to your wisdom and your perspective on that question.
I'm the wrong person to ask that to. I'm pretty sure everybody here can agree that when you hear somebody says they're not going, because I'm guilty of that so bad, until it got to the point where if I don't go, then something bad is about to happen, and you, that's what you want to avoid. Wait until that last stroke, when it's going to change everything in your life, that you decide you want to try to do something. You know, it's a lot of things we don't want to do in life. We don't want to get up and go to work. We don't want to get up when we're supposed to. So, you know, if we treat everything like that, then we're in trouble already to begin with, because when it comes to getting up to take care of your business as far as your health, again, or anything that you treasure, you have to move forward. You put your best foot forward to make every decision you can to make it a positive one, because anything left on the table negative is still something that's undone that won't complete your destination until you've done that. So it's imperative that we stop as men saying, well, I can do it later. You know, we put off today what we can do tomorrow, you know, and what for, really? When you think about it, when we do that, we end up doing nothing at that very moment that we could have taken care of that very thing that we put off. We didn't do anything. We just took off because we were lazy enough and didn't want to go anywhere because a good game was on or somebody was cooking your favorite food. Whatever the case may be, this is just typical reasons. Somebody got on my nerves, so I don't feel like being bothered with nobody today. The doctor going to get on my nerves. He going to ask me too many questions. All kind of things. We have to just go ahead and check ourselves. And if we don't check ourselves, nobody's going to check us for us, because it's not their responsibility. You know, so that's where I look at that.
Okay, Mr. Anthony, you brought some serious smoke there, but like you said, you're testifying from a personal perspective, because you said we've been there and done there. So I appreciate that. Mr. Parker, how do we break this cycle of I'm okay, I need to go to the doctor?
You come from a person that has had weight problems, fluctuating all over the place. One minute I look like a dime, the next minute I look like a bag of chips. So I would say self-love. Because if you love yourself enough, you know, right now I'm on this quest for becoming a better version of myself, and I'm challenging myself. So I ask myself the question, do I respect myself? Do I respect my body? And I look in the mirror, and I'm like, you know, hey, you deserve better. You can do better. I try to look at other role models that may – that I want to look like. You know, I want to look at the Avengers and Iron Man and all of these things, you know, just to look, kind of picture myself as them. And so I said, you know what, I got to do something about this. You know, if I don't like what I see, I got to do something. So what I do, I go to the doctors and get my checkup. It's something I need. Then I ask myself, who am I affecting? It's just not me. I have kids. I have one grandson. You know, right. What I do to myself now, it's a ripple effect. and I want to make sure that I've done everything that I can do to prolong the time for me to live a good quality life with my kids. So to me, that is a motivator. You know, what do I deserve? You know, do I deserve that I, you know, need to be sick, or do I deserve better? So I'm going to treat myself. I'm going to network with people that has good health, because they're going to tell me all about myself. I got a cousin to tell me, boy, you look so sloppy, you know, and you need to do this and do that. I heard you talking about you're going to get in shape, then get in shape. You've been talking that the whole year. You know, people like that, and it really motivates you and keep you on your toes. So those are some things that I think that we can do to break that cycle. Back at you, Alan.
Thank you, sir. And that's accountability and taking the, I guess, the old folks used to say, taking the bull by the horn and making it do what it needs to do. Mr. Hines, can we get your perspective on this conundrum of, I'm okay, I'll be fine, I don't need to go to the doctor?
Absolutely. Well, I got a few points to motivate us to stop doing that, brother. First of all, to acknowledge that to think that way is actually to be very selfish. Because if you go down, that's going to affect the whole family, your business, the people around, so forth. And so it's a selfish decision. I know we don't think of it that way, but it actually is. So don't be selfish, or stop being selfish with that. Number two, you know what, like anything else, the time you put into thinking about it and pondering and wondering, you could have done it and been done with whatever it was, with that doctor's visit or appointment or call kind of thing. And there's two more things I'll say quickly about it, brother. The Department of Health does an end-of-life survey where they talk to people that are at the end of life, you know, on their deathbed or whatever kind of thing, all types of people. And they one of the questions they ask them is, what's the number one mistake that you think you made in your life? And the number one answer is, I mean, for everybody, men, women, young, old, black, white, it didn't matter, is thinking that they had time. Okay, so don't assume that you have that time, because, and that leads to my last point, which is that there's six words that you never want to hear the doctor say: if you had only come in sooner. Okay, So that's not enough motivation. I don't know what is.
You know, Mr. Hines, and that kind of leads me to my comments, and then I'm going to make a few comments, and then we're going to take a break for a few minutes, and everybody kind of gets up in the drink and everything and just chill for a few minutes. But it's ironic you mentioned that at the end, because I actually have a friend who did the typical male thing. I'm just going to keep it 100 for all of us. And he just refused to go to the doctor, just would not go. And then when he finally went, they had to take him to emergency. And then by that time, the doctor was just basically saying, hey, there's nothing we can do for you. And at that point, it just went all downhill from there. He wound up passing away not that long afterwards. And I'm thinking about what Mr. Parker said and what you've alluded to, Mr. Hyde, as well as Mr. Anthony. Do we really consider the fact that there's collateral damage that we are impacting our families with and our community with when we leave too soon? And this is one of those things where I think intuitively we are taught not to be selfish. But when it comes to our health and this issue of not going to the doctor, we have to be selfish enough to say, I need to go, because if I don't, what happens not just to me, but what happens to everybody else that I love and care about? And so that is absolutely something that we have to do. So we want to, at this time, we're going to take a quick break, and we have a song that we're going to share with you. It's by Daisy Brown, and she's the producer to Tribe Family Channel, and she's a manager to Mr. Clyde Anthony. And this song that we're going to go to break on is called You Were There, Mother. So we're going to take a quick break, gentlemen, hear this song, and then we'll pick it up from there. You're listening to the Men of Honor discussion here on the Tribe Family Channels in association with Gumma for the Soul Publications. Check out this song, and after this song, we will be right back, gentlemen. We're going to pick it up and hit the ground running again.
you.
That was absolutely beautiful. And I find myself thinking, gentlemen, that we all can testify to the fact that if anybody was always there for us through the good times and the bad times, it was our mother. And for those of us whose mother has gone on to be with the Lord, we take that song as a way just to say thank you. Even though thank you, those two words themselves really do not do it justice. And for those who are listening, whose mothers are still with them, recognize the fact that you are blessed to have your mother here with you. Honor her and just thank her for being who she is and for all that she's done. Again, that song that we just heard, we were blessed to hear, was called You Were Their Mother by the Brooklyn All-Stars, as written by Miss Daisy Brown, our producer for the Family Tribe Family Channel and the manager too, Mr. Clyde Anthony. We want to thank Beverly for playing that song and reminding us one more time just how blessed we are to have the mothers that we've had or have in our lives. So we're going to pick it back up. I've got one more question I want to throw out to each of our gentlemen this evening in health and wellness. And then we're going to move into life and leisure, if that's okay with each of you. We'll start with Mr. Anthony. And Mr. Anthony, the question that I want to pose is the stigma of mental health. Where do we stand today, and how do we get our men to not think it's a sign of weakness to say, I need help?
You know, I'm going to start off by saying when I talk about this, the first thing I got to do is add my Lord and Savior in here first, because we have to, if we stay focused on him and what he's able to do in any type of situation, I think we need to start looking at our situations with more urgency.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of times we get caught up in our day-to-day activities, work, and other things that we do on a norm. And I know I've caught myself wanting to talk about things that were going on with me, either at work or something I was trying to deal with personally. And this comes into play with that, because we gotta research and ask our doctors what, tell them what you're experiencing. If it's depression or something of fear, you need to talk about it. You can't just sit up and hold it inside and think it's gonna go away. That's not the answer to that. We have to be able to find something to vent to, whether it's your bicycle or your best friend or that pork chop sandwich you finna knock off, whatever it is, you have to have something and somebody that you can talk to and let them know what you've been thinking, what you've been feeling. How do I go by getting the help I need, because I think something is going wrong in my life, because I'm having too many thoughts about suicide or whatever this could be. It's something that's not there to be ignored. It's something to really sink our minds and our bodies into, to figure out what we can do to be better at mental health, to realize when we're kind of unbalanced or getting off track a little bit, so we can remember there's a guideline that we can follow if we just keep the same routine that keeps us healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Then
yes,
maybe that will help. You know, some of the situations, I look forward to see what the other gentlemen have to say, but this is what I have. It puts me in mind of that, and I'll give it back to you.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Anthony. That was powerful, sir. Thank you very much. Mr. Parker, give us your thoughts, and you shared a few things a few minutes ago about mental health, so I want you to expound on that, if you would, sir.
When I think about mental health, I look at the first thing is love, because you got to first love yourself enough to tell yourself the truth. Sometimes we lie to ourselves and say we don't need help, and that's sometimes based off of pride that's within us. But if we have enough love in our hearts, and that is based off, I think people need to become more spiritual when it comes to mental health. Because when you look at the mentality of people, you have to have some type of moral code to live by, some type of law to live by that guides us. Everything that we do, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, all of these things are good morals and principles that we live by. And it's a guideline that we can use like for a moral compass that say, hey, you know what? This is not going on in my life, and I see why, because I'm looking at the rules here, and I'm looking and I'm not following the rules, and this is what's happening as a result. So I think that's one of the things that we can look at is self-love and also self-identity. When you lose your identity of who you are, and you're so much involved in other things, you can easily end up going down the wrong path, down the rabbit hole, very quickly. So there has to be a balance, like work balance, relationship balance. There has to be a balance where you can be able to keep your self-identity. Who am I? You know, what are my goals? Why am I here? That's one thing. Now, physical health plays a big part as mental health. Mental health, and if you're physically challenged in your body, automatically you're going to be stressed. You're going to have your neurotransmitters frying up wrong and your nervous system all out of whack, your iconic sensory memory. All of these things is just having a big part of your physical health. You can't function properly. You can't think straight. It's this song that says, I used to watch a television show that says love and marriage. It goes together like a horse and carriage. The same thing it is with physical to health. You can't have one without the other. That's my take on that, Alan.
Thank you, Mr. Parker. That was fire. You and Mr. Anthony definitely brought the fire up to this point, I'm telling you. Mr. Hines, your thoughts about the stigma of mental health. Where do we go today from this point?
What we have to do is to dispel the stigma, my brother, because with us, especially as African-American people, and then particularly African-American men, we are still carrying centuries of a legacy of degradation and dehumanization that we were never able to adequately express, to treat or have treated, to deal with. And so it's become the norm to not do that. But the result of that, there's a reason, my brother and my brothers and all the listeners, that when you look at so many different diseases and health problems, because, again, spirit, mind, and body are one. And I know your question is about mental health. But what happens is the stress, which is a killer, literally, from our physical bodies impacts our emotional and our mental health adversely. And there's a reason why African Americans are number one with so many cancers and high blood pressure and stroke and so forth. That added stress or PTSD, post-traumatic slavery stress that's gone on and carried through our generations that we could not express, now we have to just be proactive, to use a current term, and to dispel that notion of not addressing it. We have to do that, and only we can do that.
I agree, and you're right. The question itself was geared toward mental health. But what I'm hearing each of you say is there is an interconnection or relationship between the body, the mind, and the spirit. And so from the mental health aspect of it, it has to be in sync with everything else. And if it is on, it's going to create an imbalance within each of us. And as much as anything, when I think about the stigma of mental health, again, is that fact that we cannot deny that there is an issue, because like Mr. Anthony said, just denying it is not going to solve the problem. It's only going to get worse. And what happens when it gets to that point where someone is turning to a substance to try to escape from it, what happens pray tell, if somebody decides, well, suicide is the only answer. I just had a colleague of mine about a year ago. Don't know what happened, gentlemen, but got a call and said that my colleague was gone and had committed suicide. And needless to say, I was completely floored and shocked. But I found myself thinking, gentlemen, what happened? Not that I will ever know. But I also found myself thinking, this issue of mental health and the stresses, like you said, Mr. Hines, that we've been carrying for 400-plus years, it's going to rise to the surface in some shape, form, or fashion. It's a law of the spirit. But how are we going to be proactive, as you mentioned, and move forward and get on top of it so it doesn't conquer us? We're not to be the conquered. We're to be the conquerors. At least that's what my perspective is in relation to our health and wellness. Jim, we're going to move to the second topic, and we're going to talk about life and leisure. And I'm going to start with Mr. Anthony by just asking the question, when it comes to life and leisure, Mr. Anthony, how do you define each of them, and what do they mean to you in particular?
Wow. Life and leisure. Life, when I think of life, I think of how I want to live it. I think what I want to accomplish with it. It's something that should start when you first become aware of that knowledge that you're going to need to work for yourself in order to stay alive. Some of us get that early, and some of us don't get it until it's too late. When you talk about, you know, how you're going to, your life, you know, right now I'm thinking about good life health insurance right now, just to give you an idea what you start thinking about when you get to that point. That's thinking about your life. That's just life health. Thinking about something that you can rely on in case something happens that you don't expect. Making sure that your family, your kids, your wife, girlfriend, or whoever that may be, your significant other that you cherish. If you have that special bond, then you're going to want to make sure that if something happens to you, that there's a window for her to open, a way out. Somebody will be there at just a phone call away. And then when you talk about leisure, oh, my God. See, I'm getting ready to go out on tour this summer. So that's leisure for me because I love writing and arranging and producing, and this is what I do every day. So my leisure is spent in my studio as I'm in at this very moment as we speak. Because I'm addicted to music, and I'm a junkie and all that other stuff that you want to call me. I live here, all this house I got, and I live in this one room every day. Sometimes I don't go outside because this is leisure. This is what makes me happiest the most, to come in and listen to something that God has allowed to come through me, because I don't own any of the music that I have. I could play you and sing you something right now, and I still can't say it's mine. Because if it was mine, I would take it with me when I know I'm going to die. I'd say, okay, well, I need to box this up, put this over here and that. You know, I know I'm going to take it with. That's mine. But when you leave it, that's God's. Because somebody's going to take all this music that I have, and they're going to do something with it if I don't, distribute it to where it needs to go. To make sure it ends up in the right people's hands, the right person or people's hands that can do something. What I've done, you know, because at my age, I'm totally blessed to be leisure, to have this kind of moment. Because now I have a major deal that's about to drop here in June. You know, and at 74, who does that? You know,
right.
So
right.
I don't take anything for granted. You know, and that's why I say life and leisure. You know, you gotta live life to the fullest. No matter what it is you want to do, you've thought about doing, if you have a notion to, you want to swim from one side of the pool to the other 10 times, get in that pool and swim those 10 laps. If it take you 45 minutes, just say you did it, not how long it took you to do it. You know, this journey for me has been a lifetime journey, and I'm just not getting to the finish line. But it's because I kept going, and you have something to drive yourself. You'll have something leisure to do because you'll be wanting to, you know, suck up your desire to be whatever it is you really have in the back of your head to be, you know. And that's my part of being leisure. You know, all kind of things that lead you going on trips and stuff like that. We can all think of things as leisure. You know, it's a different stroke for different folks. But for me,
yes,
it's my music. So, you know, with that being said, I'm pretty sure these other gentlemen know where I'm coming from when it comes to music, because that's how I live and breathe myself. It's back at you.
Okay, Mr. Anthony, what I'm hearing you say is that music is your heartbeat. That's your blood flow on a daily basis. So I can identify, because I'm 67, and for me, music is my passion. I love writing lyrics, and that's something I could do every day, and I'd be just as happy as anybody in the world. Mr. Parker, where you at, bro? Tell me what you think about the definition for you of life and leisure. Talk to me.
When I think of life, and I ask myself, what's the question? Life to me is the appreciation of everything that God has created. It's something that should not be taken for granted, and we ought to make the most out of it. You know, you can take a little, put it this way. Money can't buy certain things. There are some things you can't put a price on. And when you learn to appreciate life itself, when you walk outside and you smell the air and you embrace the sun as it shines upon your skin and it gives you that vitamin D, that's life. Sometimes people get caught up into materialistic things and they forget about the simple things. How about you woke up this morning? You were able to get out of bed and walk. You know, how about you was even able to see someone that you love wake up? That's life. And I love life. I think love and life goes hand in hand. Because when you love life, you can love not only yourself, but you can love someone else. Now, far as the leisure, being an engineer and an inventor, one of the questions I learned in class, what my instructor asked, he said, what was the thing that you think that destroyed neighborhoods and families? My first answer was social media. He said, no. And what he said just really hit me like a ton of bricks. It was the air condition. Most people back in the day, if you notice, they were called porch roaches. We would be outside. The kids would be outside playing. You know, we would have cookouts. There were more family reunions. That's leisure to me. People think that spending money on these $150 million yachts, getting out there on the boat and flying in the middle of nowhere is leisure. But what about the quality of it? You know, what good is having all of these riches and you can't enjoy with anybody? What about building memories? You know, with leisure, yeah, that to me is, there's no quality in just having everything. You know, you enjoying it with everyone is everything to me. That's my idea of leisure, when you can have and you can have enough to give to everybody and everybody can enjoy it. Back at you, Alan.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Hines, can we get your dynamic input as well, sir, if you're with us?
Yes, sir. On the life side, first and foremost, God is life. You know, the author and finisher and creator and controller of all things. So by definition, you know, life begins and ends with God at the center and at the helm. And so are being are acknowledging that and are being connected to him on a regular basis is the foundation for life, because he gives us purpose and gifts, not for ourselves, but for others. We are here not for ourselves, but we're here to share those gifts and to use those gifts to help others, and he gets the glory out of that. So to me, that's the essence of life, to be the change, to be the motivation, the inspiration that we want to see in the world. We have to embody that, and that begins with God at the center and at the head of that that effort. And on the leisure side, speaking of God, remember, even he on the seventh day rested. So, and I got my black nerve because I'm the worst about not resting. I'm going to keep it 100, as they say. So that's one I really got to work on because, like my brothers were saying in their statements, I'm guilty of, being married to the piano and to, you think it's going to be an hour and you look up and it's been all day. And, and no respect for weekends and all that kind of thing, because that musical muse has a life of its own and you follow that. But, we need to take a page out of God himself's book and whenever possible. And like I say, I'm saying this to myself more than anyone else, and to find that time to rest, to unwind, to rejuvenate so that we can be better at whatever it is we're trying to do.
Yes, sir. That, like you said, you just kept it 100. And I'll just make a couple quick comments, and then we'll move to our next area, which is going to be balance and soulmates. But, gentlemen, when I think about life and leisure, I'll be 67 at the end of this month. And I think about more than anything at this point in my life, in that point in my life, gentlemen, I think about gratitude. And I say that because each day, and Mr. Parker, you alluded to it, each day that I wake up, I'm just so grateful for the fact that I woke up. And I'm mindful of the fact that somebody probably within a 3 or 4 mile radius of each of us did not wake up this particular day or tomorrow. And so I think of life as being a gift that God has bestowed on each of us. And what are we going to do with this life that he has blessed us to lead? And I'm also in a time and a season when it comes to my life, thinking as much as anything, gentlemen, about legacy. And I'm thinking about legacy in terms of what am I leaving behind for those people whose path I have crossed? What am I leaving behind for, like, the children, things like that? I want to be able to say that I tried to pour back into somebody else the way others did for me when I was growing up. So I'm in that time and that season right now for me where it's about the legacy and trying to make sure I'm doing as much as I can for somebody else, almost in a sense kind of emptying myself as much as I can, because I know tomorrow's not promised, and I can attest to that from a very, very personal incident when January 3rd of 2021, I was nearly killed in a car accident to the extent that I was unconscious for about 2.5 hours or so, and they were worried if I was going to be paralyzed for the rest of my life. And so that was a reawakening for me to just really appreciate how precious life is and what a blessing it is. Leisure, and I'll just make this real quick. Leisure for me right now is just doing the simple things, going to see family, doing lunch with them, talking to them on the phone. I'm very low-key in that respect, gentlemen, because you know what? It's almost like that old commercial from back in the dark ages. It says something about simple pleasures are the best. And for me, that's what my leisure is all about, just the simple things, hanging out with my sister, who I am a caretaker for. She's my world, and my children in my life, and just being there for them. That's really what's there for me. So I that's what it is for me. But I'm going to stop on that because I'll get all teary and get loosey and everything. So I apologize for that. But, gentlemen, let's talk about at this point a couple more things. I'm going to talk about a very positive area, balance and soulmates. My question to each of us is, when it comes to balance and soulmates, why is it important, and how do we create balance and find that soulmate? Mr. Anthony, I'm going to start with you, sir, if I could.
how do you create that soulmate? Well, I'm going to, like, all you guys have all said all day long, I want to keep it 100 with you. That's not going to happen. But I think when you find that person that when you see that name come up on your phone, you get all excited and you have the goosebumps coming up on you. You're trying to figure out where is that coming from?
Well,
that's because you have finally met your soulmate, that woman that everything is right when she calls. It doesn't matter what's going wrong. If she calls at the wrong time, it's the right time for you. That's your soulmate. I'm going to make it short for you. I'm going to leave that right there.
Okay, I don't know what else can be said after that, man. That's some serious smoke. Fire alarms are going off after that, Mr. Anthony. Mr. Parker, talk to me, bro. What about the soulmate and this balance? Talk to me, Mr. Parker.
When it comes to balance, I will say this. This is my number one rule. Don't lose your self-identity, because that's the very first thing that attracted a person to you in the first place, if they're going to be a soulmate. The qualities that you had that you were doing, maintain those. Don't lose focus on your goals and your dreams, because it's easier to get caught up in someone else. And when you do that, what you're actually doing is giving them power to take over pretty much your life. And you're losing yourself, therefore you'll start developing things like so low self-esteem. You'll start getting insecure about yourself or insecure about the relationship. And so there, and where at first you were seen as a leader or a strong man, now you're being seen as a follower, because now you own that honey-do list. I don't know, I mean, you men know about that, but I think that started back in the 70s, as far as I learned. Watching other men growing up, or honey do this, or honey do that. And so you don't want to find yourself on that honey do list. You want to maintain balance of being the leader, because a woman respects a man in leadership, and when he's able to respect himself and then be able to respect himself enough to not let anyone else disrespect him. That's my take, Alan.
Mr. Anthony, what were you going to say, sir?
Oh, no, I'm just in total agreement with what he was talking about. You know, that's, I had to put my amen on that one. That was it for me.
I thought you were going to say that honey-do list started at the beginning of time, but I'm not going to say that, but I already said it. So it's out there now, gentlemen. Mr. Hyde, sir, give us your input, please.
Yes, sir. Well, mine, once again, keeping it 100 again, there have been some absolutely phenomenal, spectacular women in my life, and I did not learn how to find that balance, and still, candidly, keeping it 100, have not learned to find that balance to make that work the way that it should or could. So I'm still definitely a big work in progress on that area, because I'm so married to the music. Aggressive with my music, aggressive with my health and working out every morning and my prayer life and all that, not necessarily aggressive in matters of the heart kind of thing. So for me and for anyone else that's out there like me, I would say to apply the same discipline in the other areas of your life that's giving you that success and drive with that, to you know, the emotional and the romantic side, you know, so that when that woman does come along, that you'll have the good sense and the procedure and the balance to be able to make it work.
Amen. Amen. One more question this area. We're going to move to our last topic, which is mentors and role models. But I want to ask each of you, how are you maintaining your balance in life? What are you doing in particular that you could share with our audience that they can glean from your wisdom and your experiences? Mr. Anthony, how are you maintaining your balance? What are you doing in that area?
Well, Well, my thing is maintaining a balance in day-to-day life and activities with what I do on a daily basis, because I spend 18 hours a day in my studio, so I have to, you know, get in so many hours early in the morning and, you know, go to do other things, you know, take a break from it and go do things that you need to take care of, like going to get your laundry done, you know, things of that nature, so on and so forth. And stay connected to that person, whoever it is that you talk to on a daily basis, be it friend or whatever, you know, stay connected with your family, making sure everything is okay, that they hear from you, that lets them know that you're okay and you are functioning without any help. So I believe that when you do that and you stay in contact with each other daily, and this goes along with anything that you do, you know, it doesn't hurt to let somebody know where you're going when you go, because, you know, too many people are coming up missing now, you know, because nobody knows where they went. So I would suggest that you do something like that. But that's my take on that, pretty much.
That was powerful, Mr. Anthony. Thank you very much. Mr. Parker, give us your insight, sir.
Pretty much, I would say, as far as the menu, make yourself a mental list and be relentless about following through with it and setting your goals, and be consistent with those goals. Because we can plan a lot of things and do a lot of great things, but if we're not following through on it, then what can happen, we just all automatically as a result get discouraged because we see that we're not consistent in it and we don't have any results and we get frustrated. So another thing is planning. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, hey, write the vision on the table, and either read it, let him run with it. So we have to, and also there was a book I read called System Builder, where written by Swan Nguyen, where we a lot of times don't plan to fail, but we fail to plan. And, you know, without a vision, the people will perish. So we have to be able to visualize ourselves in whatever capacity, endeavor we're in, whatever goals we have to be able to see ourselves towards the future of the outcome. And I think a lot of times we don't see the outcome of how we want things without that vision. We get discouraged. Therefore, we're not encouraged to be consistent in things of that nature. That's my take, Alan.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Hines, your input, sir. We really, really appreciate hearing from you.
Oh, absolutely. I've got four words to give people specifics, and because you're asking how to do that, at least from my perspective, and so this is my input. And those four words I would have in terms of balance are: listen to your body. Now, you may say, and they say, well, what does that have to do with balance? And the answer is this: God has created us where we are naturally inclined towards balance. So what we do is we don't listen to that, or if we do hear it, what our body's telling us, which, of course, again, we said spirit, mind, and body are one. I mean, that's scriptural. We don't listen to that, and then that starts the imbalance. The universe is all about balance. I mean, that's why we're able to talk right now, you know, because gravity is holding us down, and then the Earth's rotation and all those things, it's about balance. And so God, in all of his creations, balance is inherently in there, and we mess it up by not listening to it. Sometimes it's that soft, a still voice. And I'm so glad my brother a minute ago talked about visualization and actualization, because we're given those visions, and too often we ignore them, or that small, still voice, which is, of course, the voice of God, telling us what to do and to keep balance and maintain it, and we ignore it. So don't ignore it. Listen to your mind. Listen to your spirit. Listen to your body, because inherently balance is therein.
Yes, sir. I agree. I'm just going to very quickly give my take on it, and it's kind of something that I have learned late in life. I regret the fact that it took me this long to learn it. And sometimes to maintain balance, gentlemen, this is just my opinion, there's nothing wrong with saying no. And sometimes
right.
you have to say no because, number one, in spite of the fact that for years I thought I was Superman, I could do everything, I came to realize later on in life that I was more like Clark Kent or Clark Dark than I was Superman, okay? I'm just keeping it 100 for us. And so I've learned to say no, and I've also learned, gentlemen, that sometimes to keep my balance, sometimes less is more because I'm more productive and I get more enjoyment out of it, and the people I'm pouring into are going to get the best of me. They're getting quality and not necessarily just quantity, but that's just Alan's take. Took me 67 years to realize it. I'm a slow learner, but finally the light's starting to flicker. I didn't say it came on, but it's starting to flicker at least. So, but hey, I'm a slow learner. What can I tell you? Gentlemen, we're going to get close to wrapping up in a few minutes. We're going to talk about our last category, which is mentors and role models. We'll start by just asking the question, beginning with Mr. Anthony, how have each mentors and role models been a presence in your life up to this point? Mr. Anthony?
Oh, wow. I'm going to make it simple. I'm going to keep it 100. My biggest role model is Jesus. Because to do the things that he's done with me, for me and to me, and I'm here to talk about it, just to be grateful to know that he has taken care of me with most of the time reacting instead of thinking a lot of, especially when I was much younger. This makes me think of just as he's the best role model I can think of. I had to think of a friend, it would probably be my dad. You know, and that,
okay.
that would probably be my biggest role model because he overcame alcohol to become a minister of the Lord for over 55 years, and he just retired. And a lot of people thought I was going to be a minister because I guess I have that kind of aura about myself. I don't know, but you know, it's, I just like what having it means to have your dad or someone that you look up to because they're doing something that has already inspired you because it's the same what you thought about. And maybe they can help you with your idea. Someone that you know carries themselves as a man and a gentleman every day and look the part. And I'm not talking about all fancy. I'm talking about looking the part where you know that this person thinks about more than himself. He thinks about others just the way you do. And you want to be around positive people as much as possible, no matter what mm-hmm. walk of life, because positivity is what you need in these times and days. Because I don't know if anybody noticed. I'm not saying you guys because I know you know, but he's on his way back. And you know, I don't think he's too far. He just want to know the truth about it. I don't think he's too far away. So that's my take on that.
Amen. I hope you're right about that, bro, because we need him now more than any other time. That's for darn sure. So, Mr. Parker, mentors and role models, how is your presence?
I think when I think about mentors and role models, I think about God using people that have had experiences or have learned different experiences of others who they have encountered in their life to give us and empower us with the knowledge that we need to apply in our situations that we have. I have some of the most wonderful role models in the world, if you ask me. I've been to a place or places of darkness. It's funny that we talk about darkness and we talk about God as light, right? Well, God using people in the darkness to bring us back to the light. Well, I've been to a place of darkness and many places of darkness where I have those people, just as I believe Ms. Anthony was talking about, family members that gave me the twos, you know, the do's and the don'ts, to watch out for this, to watch out for that, you know, get your education, such as my parents and my cousins and my uncles and people like that in life that I try to surround myself with. There's a saying that it takes a village to raise a child. So I learned to surround myself with older people and people of knowledge and wisdom. Don't take them for granted, but absorb everything that I can from them. Even now, I love the elderly. When I see them, I just sit down like a child, whether it be on the floor, and I just listen to, you know, the times of where they, what they have experienced. Because if you don't know where you come from, how are you going to know where you're going? And I look at the 60s, for instance. Look at the experience as far as the racial inequality. What have we learned from that? We as a people ought to have mentors that can say, hey, this is what happened. You experienced those toxic stress. This is what you need to do in order to get out of those particular situations, even now, that we can feel the anger from our ancestors and do something about it. So I had wonderful mentors on all levels, whether it be romance, whether it be partnership or business-wise, mentors from all capacities to guide me to where I need to be. I think mentors, even if you have to go out and seek counsel from mentors, do it, whatever area that you feel like you need to have strengthen yourself in, go get those mentors. It's so important and imperative to get those mentors. The longer you wait, the more you're going to suffer. So as Anthony said that, you know, your parents, they are the very first. The moment you open your eyes and you see them, and the Bible even tells you, children, obey your parents in the Lord. It's so simple. Simple rule. But it's hard for men to follow, and look what ends up happening. You know, mm-hmm. there's a way that seems right unto that man, but the end thereof is destruction. You know, mm-hmm. so, but he tells us to train up our children the way they should go, and when they're older, they won't depart from it. So the first mentors, yes, your parents. Your second mentors, your school teachers, your guidance counselors. Listen to these people, because what they're telling you, they've been down that road, and it's definitely, it's the recipe for a lifetime for us. That's my take, Alan.
All right. That was powerful. Definitely. I want to thank you for that. So want to hear from Mr. Hines the issue of mentors and role models. Your perspective, sir.
Well, I agree with both of my brothers. The ultimate heavenly role model, you know, is God through Jesus. I mean, the ultimate earthly role models begin with our parents, aunts, uncles, grandparents, even those elders, that village that my brother was talking about. I really get upset when oft times the media makes the assertion that, especially in the African-American community, that we don't have role models, especially black male role models. We have a wealth of them. So that's totally false. So thank you all for dispelling that. So the village of role models, and I mean musically in terms of role models and mentors, musically, Duke Ellington, that surprises a lot of people when I say that, because we hear Duke's name and we think of jazz, as we should, but too many people don't know that Duke wrote and recorded spirituals, gospel, anthems, hymns, blues, African music, every sound of blackness. So that's where we got the notion from, of having such a broad repertoire. So those role models and mentors are all there. We just have to have enough sense to follow them.
Thank you. Thank you very much. One final question for each of us. I'm going to put you on the spot. I'm not going to apologize up front, but I'm just going to come with it and be real about it. Do you consider yourself a role model? Mr. Anthony, how would you respond to that question, sir?
No, not at all. No. I say no because I don't feel like I've accomplished. I'm at the door. I've gotten in the door, but I'm not satisfied because I haven't shown anything yet. That's about to happen, so I can't rest. You know, it's It's like my brother was talking about the addiction of dedication when it comes to music is more stronger than any. And I can't believe I'm getting ready to say this, but I think it's more stronger than a regular relationship. It's hard to have a relationship with anybody that doesn't understand that music is your love. Because when you do that, when you say that's not important, then you just cut off everything right there. And I know my brother going to agree with that. You just shut up a whole bunch of stuff that could have happened because you said that was not important. So I ain't having it. So you understand what I'm saying? You know, we're going to move around. You're going to need to go find Santa Claus or whoever you need to get your business done. Because when you talk shit down my music, church, I preach or go.
Okay. At that point, I think we can say Elvis has left the building because it ain't going to happen. Is that fair to say what's going to
happen?
Elvis has left the building. Mr. Parker, talk to me, bro.
Personally, I think everybody is a role model. But if you're asking me, I say I am a role model. I'm a role model to my kids and more people out there. I don't know everybody who I may touch in their life. You know, I don't know who I'm affecting. But one thing I did learn is that even being a spiritual person, and I'm not always spiritual, but I did learn that people may not even read their Bible, but they read you every day. When you go out here, when you walk, when you talk, people are watching. They're looking at what you do, and you never know who's looking at you with those stars in their eyes and, oh, my God, I want to be like them. You know, I was looking at Mr. Anthony, and I was looking at Mr. Hines, and I'm like, oh, my God, you know, I'm on this show with these high-powered gentlemen. You know, I feel like idiot me, but inside of a voice says, you know what? Just be yourself. Just be as in though and speak as in though all the experiences you had that you have done, that you have lived. You know, just speak on those things. And so it made me feel a little bit comfortable. But I was nervous at first, I must admit. But, yes, an example and a role model, I feel like that I just want to be the best me and perhaps somebody out of the grace of God that they may want to copy and follow after my footsteps. So I do consider myself a role model.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Mr. Hines, do you consider yourself a role model, sir?
The answer for me is this, my brothers, that while I don't consider myself a role model, being in the public eye and in this capacity, as my brother was just alluding to a moment ago, whether or not I consider myself, others do. And so I am, even though I don't see myself that way. And given that, and I hear a lot of our brothers, especially a lot of our athletes, when they're asked that question, say, I'm not a role model. You got, you know, 5 million kids following you every breath and word and emulating you. Yes, you are. You may not acknowledge it, but you are. And so given the fact that you're perceived that way, then we have to govern ourselves accordingly, and that includes me.
Right. And I would say if I were to answer that question, I do not consider myself to be a role model, but I'm trying to be as conscious as possible of what I'm doing and what I say and how I carry myself on a daily basis. And if somebody sees me as a role model, I take it as a great honor because I'm sort of like Mr. Parker. I'm just a regular guy. I'm nobody special. And I will say to you, Mr. Anthony, even though you may not consider yourself to be a role model, please be aware of the fact that because of what you have done, what you continue to do, people are appreciative of what you're doing, and they honor you because they say, you know what, Mr. Anthony has done it the right way. And they're looking at all of us, and they're saying, hey, I just want them to know that I appreciate they're doing it the right way. So we are role models to my extent. Sometimes, whether we want to be or not, even without trying, sometimes I just think, being a role model isn't even trying to be one. You're just being who God's called you to be, and others will see in you what it is that they want to emulate and try to make a part of their life. So Gentlemen, we're going to wrap up. I want to thank each of you. I know it was a long session. Just for full disclosure, my questions are probably varied and they can get kind of deep, but part of that, June, was because of my academic background. I worked at a university, so I'm very analytical. I'm very much a thinker, and I probe, and I'm always searching for answers. It's just my analytical background, but I hope you are willing to suffer with me to get through this interview tonight. I want to thank each of you, Mr. Anthony. We want to thank you again for the honor of being here with us tonight. We wish you the best, and we know that God will bless the tour that you have coming up here this summer. Mr. Parker, again, we want to thank you. And just keep in mind, brother, that you be you, and you know what? Nobody else can beat Harold Parker and being Harold Parker, because you are the original and the only. And so we thank you for your presence. And certainly to Mr. Gary Dennis Hines, we are honored to know that you took time out of your evening tonight to be with us. We appreciate it. And to all three of you and to our audience, we hope that you have been blessed. You got a chance to hear from men of honor, men of standard, sharing what's going on in their lives, and hopefully as a way to encourage and speak to you, to speak to your soul. And we pray that you took something from each of us tonight, and it will be that seed that will germinate in your soul and in your spirit and lead to greater and better things. So I want to thank each of you for being here as a part of this evening tonight, April 3rd, 2022, the Men of Honor Roundtable Discussion that was here on the Tribe Family Channel in association with the Gumbo for the Soul Productions. Gentlemen, thank you again. Were there any parting comments or statements from each of you? I want to open the floor for you to say one more thing, if you would, and then we will call it a wrap. Mr. Anthony?
To say what a pleasure it is to meet the other gentlemen today, and I enjoyed myself explicitly to listen to you guys. I think both of you shared some real good quality information that I even had to take in, and I want you guys to know that. I may be older than y'all, and if I am, you know, well, I'm still learning. You know, I got so much. I'm still learning. I'm learning. God's not through with me, because if he did, I'd be crazy. I don't know what, you know. So I just want to let y'all know that. I want to let y'all know, because it's an honor and a pleasure to be in the midst of gentlemen such as yourselves, all three of you guys, and I won't take this for granted. And I thank you so much for inviting me. I just want to let you know that.
Thank you again, Mr. Anthony. We were blessed to have you here with us this evening. Wisdom that comes from a gentleman of your stature and your honor is to be appreciated. We need to give you your flowers while you are yet alive, and that's what's important for all of us. Mr. Parker, any kind of comments you want to share with our audience for this evening?
Yes, Mr. Allen, I first want to thank you again for having me on your show. It's a privilege and honor to be among the greats who have been out here, who have paved the road for us. And I like to say, gentlemen, Mr. Anthony and Mr. Hines, definitely look me up on Facebook. I want to try to get y'all on my friend list, because I'm a groupie. Yes, ain't no shame. So it's Harold C. Parker Sr. Yes. And definitely I'll be trying to look you up. So if you see someone on your friend list, that's me. And but it's definitely a privilege to be here. I have a spirit of gratitude, and I've learned from you all. Mr. Hines, 3 times Grammy, 4 Stellar Awards, an Emmy nomination, and the NAACP Image Award. I think that's a great role model. And I just wanted to remind you how great of a role model that you really are. A change is coming.
Amen.
A song
Amen.
Like
yes,
that,
you
know. So even if you might not even think you will listen, trust me, I'm listening. Somebody else out there listening, and you have been a great impact on our life. That's all I have
Amen.
To say.
Yes, call
hey,
me
Mr.
when
Anthony.
You get on the phone.
Okay, yeah, we'll get Beverly with you with the information and everything. Mr. Anthony, if people want to get in touch with you to get your music, where can they get that? I apologize. I should have asked that before. Please accept my apology. How can they get in contact with you?
Well, just give me 1 second. And I can answer that because, you know, I tell you, I was old to begin with, so I don't want nobody rushing me trying to find no numbers. So you can call Daisy Brown. Her number is 443-413-0000. I think her and Zorro got something to do with each other. I'm not too sure about that. But you can get in touch with her. Or you can call me, 936-730-7641.
Thank you, Mr. Anthony. We'll pass it along. Mr. Hines, any final comments, and how can we follow you and make sure we support you in upcoming endeavors individually or as a part of the Sounds of Blackness, sir?
Yes, sir, and I'll condense this as best I can. First of all honor and praise and thanks to God and to you, my brother, for as my other brother said, the honor of being on your wonderful show, and I commend you on just the quality of your questions, your presentation. We do a lot of interviews, and, you know, you right at the top of the list, my friend. And as to my other brothers, thank you all for your kind words, man. You all are too kind. And to Brother Anthony, you know, I'm originally a drummer. I mean, it's keyboards these days. And the standard back in the day was, can you play the drum solo on Tighten Up? You know, so. It's an honor as a drummer for me to meet, you know, one of the fellas that said Houston, Texas, where we walk just as good as we dance. So
no,
I still
you
remember.
Don't start nothing, Mr. Hyde. Don't start it. Don't start it.
You know, he just opened up that can of worms, don't you?
Yeah, he did.
He just opened it up.
But to answer to the second part of the question of Sounds of Blackness, yes, please, we encourage not only my brothers on this call with me, but all of your listeners and followers to please get and stay in touch with Sounds of Blackness. Our website, all of our sites are very, it's just our name, so it's really easy. Even our website is just soundsofblackness.org. We are on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, TikTok, and all you do is type in Sounds of Blackness. We will get back to you in post-haste kind of thing. You can purchase our music at our website, our latest single, Time for Reparations, and To the Sky. We've got two new singles coming out, one called Hold Up Your Light by one of our own, Carrie Harrington, and we're working on a theme song for Juneteenth that we want to release in a month called Celebration, Juneteenth Celebration. And when you purchase Sounds of Blackness merchandise on our site or our music, please know that you're not just contributing to Sounds of Blackness, and we are a nonprofit, by the way, but we donate a portion of our proceeds to the George Floyd Scholarship Foundation. So we don't just talk the walk, we walk the talk.
Amen, amen. Gentlemen, thank you. My contact information, I am Alan T. Black. I'm a best-selling Christian author, and you can find me at my website, alantblack.com. That's alantblack.com. And you can also hear a part of a radio program I'm involved with called AJDW Conversation. And if you just Google that, it'll take you to our podcast. I've been doing this with four other black men for about a year and a half, and we've been blessed to do this on a local radio station, and we've actually acquired roughly about 85,000 listeners through the podcast, so I've been very blessed to be a part of that. And as well, I'm a song lyricist, and Mr. Anthony, I'll get with Ms. Black and get that song to you. I'd be honored to just have you get you a copy of it. That's my real passion, but that gets me in trouble because I get away from what God's calling me to do. But anyway, that's my contact information. Again, gentlemen, thank you very much for being a part of this great evening. We hope to have you guys back in some capacity here very shortly in the future. And again, we want to thank everybody for listening to the Men of Honor Roundtable Discussion here on the Tribe Family Channel in association with the Gumbel for the Soul Publications here on April 3rd, 2022. Everybody be blessed. Have a wonderful evening. And ponder the question, what if, and where would you take it? How will you move forward with your life as it relates to what if and the difference that you as an individual can make doing the will of what God has called you to do? Gentlemen, take care, be blessed, and we will be talking soon.
that when I was a child, before life removed all the innocence, my father would lift me high and dance with my mother and me, and then spin me around till I fell asleep. Then up the stairs he would carry me, and I knew for sure I was loved. If I could get another chance, another walk, another dance with him, I'd play a song that would never, ever end. How I'd love, love, love to dance with my father again. When I and my mother would disagree, to get my way I would run from her to him. He'd make me laugh just to comfort me, yeah, yeah. Then finally make me do just what my mama said. Later that night when I was asleep, a dollar under my sheet. Never dreamed that he would be gone from me. If I could steal one final glance, one final step, one final dance with him, I'd play a song that would never ever end. 'Cause I'd love, love, love with my father again. Sometimes I'd listen outside her door, and I'd hear how my mother cried for him. I'd pray for her even more than me. I'd pray for her even.
Every night I fall asleep, and this is all